$707.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood.
Bow with me. Our dear loving in heaven.
Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. Appreciate you being here. It's allergy season, so if you see me kind of clear my throat, I'm okay, but everything's in bloom, so I'm over here dying. But nonetheless, we're glad that you are here with us as we begin a one-day series. You stay the entirety of the day, you'll hear the whole thing. At 9 o'clock, we're going to do Faith is a Victory. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about overcoming the world. There was a mother. She gave birth to identical twins, one named Amal, one named Juan. And they grew up, and they were pretty good kids. They moved away, both when they turned 18. One went to the east side of the country, one went to the west side of the country. On their 21st birthday, Juan sent his mother a picture in the mail, and when she opened it, she just started crying and said, "It's oh beautiful, but I wish Amal would have sent me a picture." And her husband said, "Why, honey? They're identical. If you've seen one, you've seen Amal." I just had a thought, which is not in my notes, but it brought me great joy. I appreciate John leading that. We're going to sing Faith is a Victory again in our next lesson as well to kind of prep our minds. But Faith is the Victory was written in 1891 by John Henry Yates and Ira D. Sankey. I just got to thinking, the saints have been meeting here at Arlington since 1892, 130 years. This song's 131 years old. They may have sung this song at one of the first worship services. I don't know, but I think that's pretty cool. I want us to talk about Faith is the Victory. This has become a favorite hymn of Christians for years. It's appeared in over 175 different hymnals, and it's taken directly from Scripture, as we just read, 1 John 5 and 4, other places in the book of Revelation and Ephesians as well. But it's a very biblical song, and it depicts the Christian as we are going into battle, because faith truly is the victory that overcomes the world. What I want us to do in our lesson this morning, it hopefully is very simple by the time we finish it. We're going to talk about faith is the victory. So we're going to have 4 points. Faith is the victory. You ready? We'll look at each word in the title of this song. So we start out with faith. Faith is the victory. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you will. We're going to spend some time here. Almost can't help but spend some time in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as we study God's word on faith. I always like it when you're reading through the scripture and the Bible defines something. Faith is what? Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith, in essence, is believing in something that you can't see even though you know it's there. I have faith that my little red Altima is sitting out there in the parking lot. I don't think somebody has stolen it. They'll bring it back if they do. But I have faith. I can't see it, but I have faith it's there. I have faith that my home is still where it was when I left it on the way to get here. I have faith that Saturn is a planet, although I've never seen or admit to it, but I believe it's there. I have seen the evidence that it is there. Webster defines faith as a belief, credibility, or truth. We know what faith is. Faith is important. He says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Dear brethren, you can't have faith by reading this. Everything in here produces faith. It increases our faith because we weren't there when it was written. We weren't there when the events happened, but we read it and we can believe it. The word faith itself, some 336 times in Scripture. Faith, you know, just the word faith, faithfulness. Things along those lines. Faithful. That works out to almost once a day. Not quite. But almost once a day I can go to Scripture if I need to. And I can focus on someone who has had faith, has had a good faith, maybe did not have enough faith, as the case may be. You know, it's interesting. Even false teachers this very morning, this very hour, are saying you've got to have faith. That's something that we can agree on. You've got to have faith. Now, they're going to stop at faith only, and we'll get to that here in a moment. But we must have faith. Faith is the starting place for the Christian, and that's why faith is the victory. But let's look at some great examples. We're going to go through this chapter. We're not going to read it in its entirety. I feel a lot of the people in Hebrews 11 are familiar. Verse 3, notice this. Verse 4, by faith, that prepositional phrase, frequently repeated. And that's a great introduction to these Old Testament characters. I don't have to know anything about the rest of their life except by faith. What? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So by faith, Abel acted upon faith. Go down to verse 5. By faith, Enoch. He was translated. He would not see death and was found not because God had translated him. Why? Because he pleased God. By faith, Enoch walked with God. Enoch did what God had commanded. God rewarded him for that. Enoch did not die. Go on to verse 7. By faith, Noah. He was being warned of God of things not yet as seen. He was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know, it's still mind-boggling to think that it hadn't rained up to the point of the days of Noah. God watered the earth in different ways, and God said, no, it's going to rain. And Noah didn't say, God, you're crazy. He said, I'll do it 3 times. Thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him. By faith, look at verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would receive after for an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he'd go. You know, we like to have plans. We like to know we're going to go on a trip. We're going to leave at about this time. We're going to stop at this Cracker Barrel to eat. We're going to get gas here. You make these plans so you know I want to be about here at about this time. Well, Abraham said to God, God said to Abraham, get up and go. So Abraham got up and went. He didn't know where he's going. He was leaving his home place. He's 75 years old, lived there his whole life. And yet God said, I need you to go. And by faith he did. By faith we continue. Abraham, look at verse 11. Through faith, another phrase. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So through faith, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, was able to have a child way past when you're supposed to, about 90 years old, had the son of promise, Isaac. And I'm thankful she did because my Savior came through Isaac's line. We keep going down though. Look at verse 20. We talk a lot about Abraham, but verse 20, by faith Isaac, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He blessed that he passed on generational blessing, if you will. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, notice verse 22, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave them a commandment concerning his bones. He believed they would carry his bones with them until he reached the promised land. And guess what they did? They buried Joseph's bones once they got home. They didn't bury him out in the wilderness. They didn't bury him. They buried him when they got back home. Look at verse 23, and a lot spent on him. By faith, Moses, when he was born, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was about 40 years old, by faith, Moses, verse 27, he's about 40 years old again, he forsook Egypt. By faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea under his leadership. That's Exodus 14. You see the picture here in Hebrews 11? It's highlighting great people who acted on their faith, where God told them something's going to happen that's never happened to you before, and it's going to be hard to believe unless you believe that I'm God. I mean, just look there at verse 29. It'd be really hard to imagine you're going to pass on dry land in the middle of a sea. But by faith they did. Look at verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Now walls fall down all the time, except these walls were never touched. These walls only fell when God's commands had been fulfilled, marching around and then shouting at the end. Verse 31, even by faith Rahab the harlot, she perished not. Why? Because she believed. And she did what she was told to do. And then he starts in verse 32, and time would fail me to talk about the judges and the kings and the prophets. It's probably a sermon. He's probably running out of time. Everybody's sitting there looking at their watch. They acted on faith too. I don't have time to get to them. But notice this. Why is faith important? Go back to verse 6. Back it up just a little bit. He's just talking about Enoch, how he was translated. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God, number one, must believe that he is. And number two, must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in order to come to God, I've got to do it by faith or through faith. And to come to God, first, I've got to believe that God is. I've got to believe that God is God, that God always has been, is always existing now, and forever will exist. And I also must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if I don't believe that yet, I need to keep reading Hebrews 11 alone, and I'll see all these people, some long list, and that's not everybody, that's just a good starting point, long list of people who are rewarded by faith. God said to do something. It may have seemed crazy, but God said to do it, so they did it and they're rewarded. Dear friends, it all starts with faith. Faith truly is the victory. Number two is, faith is. You ready to define is? You ever looked up the word is in a dictionary? Is the third person present indicative of be. Think about the word be, the verb be. Well, is another verb. It's third person. It is present. I want you to notice this. It's active. Is one of the most used active verbs out there. Because this is and that is. The sun is shining. Brad is sitting there. You just go down the list. Is. We use that all the time. But is active. Notice it is present. It is in the moment. You have to be doing something. So there's a difference in being active and being passive. Being active, you're doing it. Passive, you're just letting it happen to you. But we are sitting here. We are active. Go with me to the book of James. Flip over three or four pages. James chapter 2. When I'm thinking about faith and we define it first off in Hebrews 11, next my mind always jumps to James chapter 2. Because James has one of the greatest working examples, I believe, of faith found in Scripture. And he just illustrates it so eloquently, if you will. Look at verse 10. We start there. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. We must keep the whole law. I can't pick and choose which of God's commands I want to obey and which I don't. Now, that's what a lot of our religious neighbors want to do, our friends in the world. They want to say, well, I really want to worship the Almighty God who created the world by speaking it into existence. I really want my sins washed away, but I don't want to be baptized. I really want to go to worship him in church, but I want to have a woman preacher. And I want to have a praise team. And I want to burn incense. And I want to do this, that, and the other, which God has specifically said, don't do. We can't pick and choose. You've got to do the whole thing. Or none at all. It's not a cafeteria style religion. You know, you go through the line. I want mashed potatoes, but you don't get to choose that. You take God at his word and you do what he says or you don't. The choice is yours. Jump down to verse 14. Notice, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and not have works? Can faith save him? We'll talk about faith and works through the rest of this chapter. He says, what does it profit if you have faith but not works? Can your faith alone save you? Well, the answer certainly is not. You can't have one without the other. We keep going on down. Pick up verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Why? Because it is alone. Literally in Greek, it's by itself. Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, but the devils also believe, or the demons, and yet they tremble. I saw on a church sign one time, it said, Satan is no atheist. It's true. Every time you read through the gospel accounts, the first person to identify Christ is the demon, right? The demon-possessed man, the demon-possessed, they know who Christ is, but they don't act upon it. They believe that Christ is, but they don't act upon it. They have faith, but they don't have works. He says, what does it profit? You can't say, well, I'm righteous enough and I just have faith. I'll show you my works by my faith. No, you've got to have faith and works. Keep on going down. Wilt thou know, O vain man, faith that works, verse 20, is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Yes, he was. I know, we just read it in Hebrews. When he offered his son Isaac upon the altar, seest thou then how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? See, Abraham believed in God. But to truly be pleasing to God, Abraham had to take Isaac and journey 3 days, Genesis 21, 22 following, to Mount Moriah. He had to carry Isaac up there, bound him, put him on the altar, and get ready to slay his son. Because then he was working on his faith. Keep going. The scripture says, verse 22, it was fulfilled that Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Notice key in verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Read that again. You see how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. If you mark in your Bibles, you may want to underline this verse, commit it to memory, because I bet there is someone in your life that you know and they claim to be religious and they operate on the plan of faith only. All I have to do is believe in God and my sins are forgiven. Yet the only time in Scripture you will find the words faith only together is in this verse, and he says not by faith only. See, faith only won't cut it. Faith, you got to have it. Faith is the starting place, but you've got to have an active faith. That's what we're talking about, is it must be working. Only time faith only, and the Bible says don't you dare do it. I think about faith and works like you're out in the middle of a lake in a rowboat, and the oar in one hand is faith and the oar in the other hand is works. And if you want to go in a circle either way, you'll just have faith or you'll just have works. But to get to the other side, you've got to have faith and works. That's how the Christian operates, getting to the final destination. There's a quote that my mother uses in her classroom on a yearly basis that her students usually hate. It says, "Don't be upset with the results that you didn't get with the work that you didn't do." Say that again. Don't be upset with the results that you didn't get from the work that you didn't do. See, in school, there's a lot of kids who really want that good grade, but they don't even open the book. Sometimes they don't even show up. Well, it's really hard to get the good grade if you don't do the work. Dear friends, it's the same way in religion. If you want that home in heaven, you've got to work for it. You've got to live the life of a Christian. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. For many will say to me that day, Lord, will we not prophesy in thy name, and cast out many devils, do many wonderful works? He'll say, I don't know you. Depart from me." See, they thought they were doing good works, but you can't pick and choose what you want to do to be saved. You got to have faith. Is, it's got to be active. Let's move on. Faith is the. You get two grammar lessons in one lesson. How lucky are you? The's an article. There are three articles, a, an, and the. They're very important. It would be very hard to go a whole day without using an article, let alone the word the, since I just used it twice in one sentence at least. But an article designates a number or a location of an item. For instance, the word the is your definite article. If I said, here is the microphone I'm speaking into, it's this one. Here is the laptop that's running our presentation. I'm being specific. I'm being definite. I have defined which computer, which microphone. A or an are not definite. They're indefinite articles. If I said, here is a microphone, well, there's actually three microphones if you count the lapel sitting over here. But when I say the, you know which one I'm talking about. If I say there is a door, well, which one am I talking about? But if I say there is the door, you know which one. I have just narrowed it down. Well, faith is the victory. It's not a victory. Couldn't be ands. Doesn't start with a vowel. But it is the victory. Go with me to the book of John, if you will. Notice what our Savior Jesus Christ says in John 14 and verse number 6. Notice what Christ says as he is getting ready to be betrayed. John 14, 15, 16, and 17, a beautiful section. 17 ends with his garden prayer. And then Judas walks in to betray him, just to kind of set it in perspective. He's just talked about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Thomas says, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you notice that Jesus used a definite article, the, three times? He didn't say, I am a way. Jesus Christ is not one of the ways to the Father. No, friends, he is the one and only way. He's not a truth. There are not multiple truths. He is the truth. He has eliminated everything else. Are there many options for life? No. He is the life. One and only. And it's only through him. No man cometh unto the Father except or but or by or through me. So how does that work? You got to listen to what Jesus said. You got to remember. Words are very important. They're very important. I'm not saying you have to have a PhD in the English language, but words are very important. You've got to know how to at least make a sentence. I think you can do that. I believe in you. Faith is the what? Victory. Is it faith is a victory? No. Faith is the. There is only one way to get a victory, and there's only one way you do that, and it's through faith. What is victory? Well, defined, it's an act of defeating an enemy or an opponent in battle, game, or other competition. We're familiar with victory, right? We like to watch sporting events, and there's one team. They are the victors. You go out and play a round of golf. There's one person who won. If you tie, then you play sudden death, or you say, well, we'll play again tomorrow. But you play till there is one person. You think about winning. You know, it's built into human beings. We just like to win. I like to do things where I know I'm going to win. We're playing a card game. Maybe it's one I know some strategy on, chess, whatever. What really irritates me, and I love playing solitaire, but I'm playing against myself, and sometimes I don't even win. So then I quit because I get irritated because I like to win, you know. I'm going to play goldfish with somebody because it's really easy to win. We, as human beings, we like to win. I don't know too many people that go into play a game of basketball or play a hand of cards and say, boy, I really hope I lose today. No, you haven't been training all these months to go out and lose. You've been training all these months to go out and win. But I want you to notice something. You celebrate after the victory. If you're a NASCAR fan, they tell me there's a big race today. You don't celebrate the victory lap till after everybody's crossed the finish line. If you're the first person, you can go around as many times as you want to and celebrate and spin out and have all that fun. But you don't do it before. Many pictures of people in races, and as soon as they think they have the win, they'll slow down and somebody will pass them. Winner's circle, victory lap. No one celebrates before they've won. Paul tells us to keep pressing on. But I want you to notice this here. Some examples. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. Notice what Paul says. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. As Paul is penning 2 Timothy, from what we can tell, secular history included, probably the last thing that Paul writes, he's in prison under the Emperor Nero. Not too long after this letter is penned, he is released out of prison. And then next thing you know, his head becomes disconnected from his body. So these are kind of the last words of Paul. And he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul knew his end was here. And Paul wasn't fretting. Paul wasn't saying, oh, I need to go make my life right. He says, I'm ready. He says, I see the end and it is near. And I'm ready to cross that finish line because I have done, I've kept the faith. I have done what I'm supposed to. But notice how he puts it when he writes to those in Corinth, if you will. It should be 1 Corinthians. I don't know why it says 2, probably because I typed it wrong. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Notice what Paul says. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, But one receives a prize, so run that you may obtain. You think about it, you're running a marathon. There is one person who stands up that top pedestal for that one first place. Every man that striveth for the mastery, he's temperate in all things. Now they do it, these runners, and probably talking about an Olympic game-like run. They do it for a corruptible crown. Literally, their crown was taken from like olive branches, and it would have been freshly cut and shaped into a halo and put on their head, and it would have lasted a couple of days. These people in this race, they are literally running for a crown that is dying, but we run for an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I fight not as one that just beats the air, but I'm fighting. I know why I'm hitting and who I'm hitting. He says, I keep under my body, bringing it to subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul knows where the victory is. Paul is looking forward to that victory. He knows that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. He says, and I am strategically getting there. I'm not just out here flailing my arms around. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to do that 1-2 punch. I'm ready to run. I have kept my body. I have trained for this race, Paul says. But Paul knows that you don't celebrate till after the race is over. Faith is the victory. Very definite biblical teaching. Question for you this morning, dear friends. Have you started your marathon? We're all running in a race. The Christian life is often portrayed as a race in Scripture, a walk or a race. Are you running that marathon? Let me ask you this. How's it going? You doing good? You hanging in there? How about mile 3? How about that second turn, that halfway stretch? Are you getting weary? No, brethren, keep pressing on. That's what Paul says, Philippians 4:13. Keep pressing on and long for that goal. Dear friends, maybe you're not running this Christian marathon this morning. Why not start today? Why not become a Christian by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized? You go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, we're going to sing this invitation song. Be resolved, be a Christian today. Dear Christian friend, we encourage you to remain faithful to the very end. We've talked about how faith is the victory. Lord willing, at 11 o'clock, we'll talk about how we as Christians can overcome the world. But if you need some encouragement, need to repent of some sins in your life, why not come forward right now and ask for that? We'd love to pray with you and pray for you. If we can help in any way at all, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.